Hi, everyone. Welcome to the primingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 217 for March 18th, 2019. We had some technical difficulties this morning with the old room, but looks like this is working now. So if you have not had a chance to take a look at today's report yet, you can go to timingresearch.com and view either the web or the PDF version. It's report number 286. We're broadcasting live on YouTube, but I'm also posting the audio-only version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and all the other podcast networks. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And Mark Max was supposed to join us today, but he had a something come up. He's not going to be able to join us. So Norman Hallett and Lance Ippolito are here, and Norman will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David, and welcome, everybody. We have a, I think we're going to have a very interesting show today because Lance is an interesting guy, and he concentrates primarily on the options, which is an area that I concentrated on for about a decade in the 80s before they had exchange-traded options. So I'm really interested to hear Lance's view on a few of the questions that that the show has for him today. Lance Ippolito, tall and tan and young and lovely. You probably heard that before, no?
Well, yeah, maybe not be considered tall.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's right. Well, you're in my range, 5'8". First of all, let's just start with Go Bearcats. We're 7 seed, and I think that was a problem. But let's start with just a little introduction. Lance, tell everybody what you want them to know about you.
Well, my name is Lance Pluto. I did the whole hedge fund thing for a number of years, moved to Costa Rica to get away, then started working as a moderator for Alpha Shark, which I'm there in the afternoon trading. And I also run a private coaching on tradingcoachlance.com, where I work with about a couple handful of traders, private Twitter feed and messaging throughout the day on trades, focusing on institutional flow in the options market. There's about 30 to 40 names when I see these big funds or traders come in and buy calls or puts on that gets my blood excited, that I piggyback on. And basically I mimic their trades. It could be a trend. It could be some kind of news announcement, an upgrade, downgrade, an earnings event, something like that. I have my names and I stick with them, my game plan. And for about 4 years now, strictly trading options, calls and puts. I don't get into anything too frisky, maybe some call spreads or bear put spreads or something like that every now and then, but focusing mostly on calls and puts in the options market.
Wow, that is already makes you different. Most option professionals will tell you buying puts and buying calls is not the way to go.
Exactly.
Although I always kind of went on your way of doing it. I think if you've got the timing right and you focus on the simplicity of the way the extrinsic value works, well, maybe it's not so simple, that you can be pretty damn accurate to buying puts and buying calls if you do it right. Of course, there are simple hedging techniques. I'm sure you use those. Yeah?
Exactly. You know, they say the high probability trade in options is selling them. And I would say that is correct. But for myself, I'm not looking for high probability trades. My theory is, sure, I could hit 5 trades in a row and all can be winners. Or I could hit 1 out of every 3 trades, but that one trade is, let's say, 500%, which makes up for the other 2 losers. So I like, again, buying options. And people think, Lance, you're crazy. You buy options ahead of earnings when volatility's high? I say yes. Again, if I have experience with the name and I think it can move greater than the market maker's implied move, I am an option buyer.
I hear you. My name is Norman Hallett. I've concentrated my trading career mostly, as I mentioned, I started in options years ago in the 80s. It was kind of the Wild West. And then I married a hypnotist who taught me that the mental part of trading was probably just as important, if not more important, than the trading plan that you're running, as long as it's a responsible trading plan. And so for the last decade, I've been pretty much the guy on the mental and emotional issues of trading on the internet. I've done 200 4-minute drills that you can find on YouTube. And, I've concentrated on that, not because I've dusted everybody who's ever tried it, but nobody wants to be in the area that I'm in because traders generally are too egotistical, or they won't put their egos aside to recognize the value of mental and emotional components of trading until they're down to their last trade. And then they'll say, geez, I'm tired of making these mistakes. But in my presentations several years ago, I mentioned the fact that I've seen at least 20 or 30 really good mental trading plans that I think simple ones with one or two indicators that I think if run strictly and in a disciplined way could make you money. And I kept on getting the question, what does that mean? Show me one. And so I decided to put simple I've just started a site recently, simpletradingplans.com, of which I'm doing exactly that, different trading plans for different simple ones for different occasions. But let's get to the to why David invited Lance and I to be here, and that's to talk about market action, the S&P, the Dow, and so on, the market indexes and where they'll be going this week. So my first question to you, Lance, is which direction do you think the S&P index will be moving from Monday's open to Friday's close, which is a very tough thing to do, as you know, but this is where David is into this, and he's made a career on these short-term views of the market, so I give him kudos for that. It's a little tough for me sometimes, but I'm going to give my opinion, but I want to hear your opinion. From Monday to Friday, where do you think the S&P is going? And then I want you to rate your the confidence in your answer, estimating the probability that you did it correct, that you've estimated it correctly. I know that's kind of weird, but give it a shot.
I'm going to say a 6, and I'm hedging my bets. If I would have went with 5, it would have been 50-50, so I'm going to say higher. Give me one leg up from the 5. But the reason why is we saw a pop this morning right off the open. We saw some dip buying basically right to the open with the Russell a little weak. We do have some catalysts like the Fed. I know Nike earnings will move some names too, and of course Boeing. But I think unless we have something major happen between now and the China news, we had a bullish March monthly expiration last week. I just think we see a little bit of continuation to the upside here. You know, S&P, we flirted with 2800, 2820 last week. To me, I think we just slowly grind higher, probably low volume, unless we have something negative news, which obviously, I can't forecast if we have some huge drop, let's say that happens tomorrow, negative news. So I'm gonna go with the 6 for my
6. And you think possibly, if it had to pick a direction gun to your head, it would be higher, and you've got a little bit of just because 5 is a bad thing to say.
Exactly. And I don't want to go too confident, like an 8 or 9. I don't feel that aggressive, but it's little, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, for me, I'm going to say, give you the same answer, only in a different way. I think that we are at the crux of a very important directional outcome. I just don't know which way. And when I look at the S&P and I look at the NASDAQ, these are butting up against the highs of the recent highs, although they're having trouble doing it. And yet the Russell and the DAX haven't made it to those highs yet. So we're seeing a little bit less energy there. And there's one other reason why I've just recently, in the last few minutes, gotten a bit more bearish on the market. And that's because in the report of the Timing Research Crowd Forecast, 71.4% think the market's going higher.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that usually is a pretty good bearish indication. Not always, because I found that David's crowd is pretty smart. So I can't give you that, but I'm going to go with that.
We're going to say David's crowd is the smart investor trader, and everyone on FinTwit who thinks we're going higher, they're wrong. If I read on FinTwit everyone thought we were going higher, confidence would be a 10 that we're going lower. But I'm going to say David's crowd's the smart trader and investor, and I'm picking their side. Then they're actually more confident than I am, which is
I'm going to go 6, but I'm going to go south because of the fact that, was it the Dow theorists that say the Dow theory says that in order to see a real move in the indexes, all the indexes have to participate. And I'm just not seeing it in the Russell and some of the other ones.
Also, too, we do have FedEx earnings this week with the transports, which have been very, very unstable lately. Airliners, UPS, FedEx. Oof.
Yeah, and
not the best looking charts.
Yeah, no, I mean, right, there are some components of some of these indexes, like Boeing, of course, the obvious one, and Tesla and so on, that are dragging the market. But that's usually the case anyway, and it's usually not as big a name.
So Facebook with the NASDAQ today, you know, taking a hit.
Correct. So let's dig a little bit deeper. You have a tendency, a small tendency towards seeing it higher just because I got to put a gun in my head. But can you give us a little bit more? A little more of reasoning of why you got where you got. I'm going to show a few charts when I get my turn, but I wanted to hear what you had to say, because I find that guys that have their head in options are constantly looking at things like momentum, because that extrinsic value in an option is so important. You know, where is the energy in a market? So I want to hear your take on why you believe the market is in such a flux and but maybe tendency toward the higher.
Yeah, so let's see if I could get the screen here and get the S&P, because that's what we're looking at, correct? The S&P. All right, so here I have the chart of the SPX, and all I'm looking at is, well, actually, I'll put a 2800 on here too. It's a line at 2800. So last week, we kept flirting with 2800. When we broke it, we would flush lower shortly, then we retake it in 2820. A range here from 2870 to 2800 in the SPX. I think we go to 2870, so what that is about, just under 50 handles to the upside, and we just fill the gap. You know, I call them gaps. I know there's candles here, but imagine like if stock had earnings and it gap lower, we just fill this gap here, regain it, and then we consolidate. You know, if the bears really wanted to push the market lower, I think at 2800 we would have ran into resistance and rolled over again. But we did. I think those shorts basically threw in the towel. And I think we have some supply at 2870. Once we get there, then it's a whole different picture. But until we do, the trend is bullish, obviously, off the December lows. I kind of think we just grind higher. Not saying there's going to be massive volume, and the next day we pop up 50 handles, but maybe 5 to 10 handles a day, something like that, higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's funny how you're about to see my chart on the S&P. Let's screen share it, and I guess I'll do my whole screen, and let's get the S&P shirt. Can you see that okay, Lance?
Yep, I got you with the email.
Now, I didn't put the second line up. I thought it was the line, but I had the same two resistance lines. This was, as you see, taken. I took this snapshot just about 2 hours ago. The market has been playing right around this line. Broke it, came down. But, you know, these three tops here, that is a very stodgy resistance. It's going to take a lot to get through that. And I'm not, we tried it here back in the beginning of March, second trading day of March, and we didn't quite reach it. Here we've actually touched it today. I think we touched it also yesterday. But we're above the 200-day moving average, where there's a lot of good things that you've got to call this an uptrend. You know, the neurotic would probably take this V and call it some sort of V bottom or corrective action. So, but I'm looking at this resistance here. We have to get through this. What concerns me down here, this is an RSI that's docked it up a bit. And this red area here is a place where generally it's in a bearish market. This is where the resistance comes in. And then the market would start. You notice how in this move here, we came down here. We got oversold and came back up. This is where a true bearish market will stop advancing. We also have it starts with a D, but it's and I'll get it in a second. But this high right here matches right here, and although we made a higher high here, the RSI did not make a higher high. So this the fact that we are in a bit of a downslope here and an upslope here is a divergence. Come on, David. It's a divergence, and that divergence gives me a little bit of negativity. So I have an issue with certainly going long right here. And until I see a close and then a confirmation of some sort, maybe what they used to call a 1-2-3, where it comes up, tests the breakout line, and then takes out the top of that breakout height. I tend to be looking at the bearish part of town. I look at certain other markets to and this is something that I do not recommend to anybody but an experienced trader. You know, when you technically, you should be looking at a market like this and saying everything that is out there in the news and everything that is anticipated for the next few weeks. It used to be next 6 months in stocks, but next few weeks, at least in that nowadays, is in the price. So to compare it to other markets is usually not a good thing. It's usually making your own case to convince yourself to doing the right thing. But in spite of that, I'm going to show you this anyway, which is these are the bonds. And you can see that this year, this is the bonds this year, you can see that we're doing a very similar thing in the bonds, and we don't seem to want to break out. Of course, this came from a much lower level, but you're seeing the same kind of resistance to this fantastic resistance line here, but it's opposite what you would normally think. I mean, generally, a higher stock market would allow interest rates to go higher. This market is trying to tell us it's afraid, it doesn't kind of want to go higher, and it looks like it may go lower, which portends a higher stock market. So again, total confusion. And this is above the 200-day moving average and all the other averages I have drawn on here. So again, we have a situation where I'm confused, and this is not helping me, which I guess is a vote for not going here when you're looking to analyze a particular market. So those are the things that I've looked at in the market to say, hey, I'm slightly negative because I'm going by my analysis of the S&P, but I'm confused because I can even show you a gold. Usually say that gold has been moving the opposite, but that's not true. Recently, gold is no longer seems to be a harbinger of a problem with the stock market. But when we were off the air, I was talking to Lance about the fact that I was in that I didn't want to share my total screen because I didn't want everybody to see that I was short on the silver today, and I made $25 at the time. Let's see, I'm still up $25. But Lance said to me, "Well, I'm long. You're long that market,
or
you're
looking?" I'm long wheat and precious metals, and now I just pulled it up because I'm long the March 22 expiration, 22.5. calls in WPM, and now I just realized someone sold 500 of them at 51 cents and bought 500 puts. And I'm at exactly, I bought them at 26 cents and they're at 50 cents. So I've already doubled my money, mm-hmm. But they have earnings this week. So obviously we're looking at that binary event.
So you do binaries, huh?
Well, for earnings, wheat and precious metals, right? Let's say silver goes up 5% and they have earnings and earnings are horrible. You know, chances are even the stock's going to go down, even though it's a silver stock. So I have traded this stock, WPM, in the options market for earnings before, and it's worked well. But someone went and bought like 2,000 calls in it a couple weeks ago. That's when I bought them.
So binaries are not necessarily for crazy people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I always say this. If you trade earnings, you're doing a coin flip, a 50-50 bet, right? Obviously, I can get more a higher probability if I've traded the name before and the chart setting up and it's a gapper and someone swept a ton of calls ahead of the event, stuff like that. But let's say a company beats top and bottom, and then the CEO says, "Oh yeah, I'm going to step down," in the conference call. You know, I don't care if the stock was up 10% on earnings, that stock's probably going to drop lower. So that's why I say a binary event.
I hear you. Well, let's get to the question about trading methodology. The specific question is, why do you think, which do you think is best, trading one methodology or system all the time, or trading multiple strategies. And why do you give me the answer you're about to give me?
I think you have to adapt. So you could do one method and it can work for, let's say, a year straight, right? And as the market changes, I feel like you have to change some of your methods. So let's say, like for me, I buy calls and puts outrights most of the time. If the market isn't trending, right? And let's say individual names are just kind of flatline, volatility is just sitting around medium, and we're in a consolidation phase for the next, let's say, 3 months. If I'm buying calls and puts in a consolidation phase because it's been working for the past year, it's probably not going to work anymore, right? I really need, if I'm buying calls, a nice move to the upside, a puts, a big move to the downside. So in that instance, you know, yeah, my trading plan could have worked for a year straight, but now that the market's sideways, I may have to adapt and I might have to start selling premium, right? I might have to do some iron condors, or there's some bear call spreads up top or some bull put spreads down below. So I feel like it's good to adapt. You know, the market changes. I do feel like you have to change. You know, oftentimes we see like, what is it? Einhorn with Greenlight Capital, right? The guy was, you know, oh, the next Buffett. But I think this year and last year, he's down like 30 something percent, right? Mm. So, you know, it could be, oh, I'm just not picking winners, but it could also be, hey, you never adapted. And, you know, now you're getting hit on the chin a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, let me give you a curveball because, you know, we had to log in and out of this. This is the second room we were in because, and I asked everybody to wait 30 seconds to log back in. And you and I both said 30 seconds, that's a long time. I don't think either of us could do that. Which leads me to my curveball question to you about trading systems and whether it's good to just try one or two. What do you think about the approach? I mean, you coach particular individuals. Sometimes, you know, if a trading plan requires that somebody pay attention on a constant basis to the to the screen, and they're not that kind, they're an ADD type of person or not ADD or whatever, different personality types seem to match different trading plans.
Right.
How do you manage that when you talk to your when you're coaching people?
Yeah. So I think too, it's big into lifestyle and emotion. So if the person can only dedicate 2 hours a day to the open and can't, you know, sit around all day, then they might have to do more swing trading, right? They might have to put their targets out there and their stops out there in the morning. If someone just loves to just slang options or stock all the time, you really have to, you know, say, hey, you can do that, right? If that's what you enjoy, but you need to do it small so you don't blow out and run, you know, all your commissions out. You know, it really does depend on the individual. Like when someone joins me, I'll be like, hey, not every trade's going to be a winner. And you know, you may be used to having 8 out of every 10 trades being a winner, but on those 8 trades, you only make 10% on your trades. That's not me. So I try to say, you know, thanks for joining and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you may only have 5 out of 10 trades that are winners, but those 5 trades are going to be big winners compared to, you know, your 10% that you're used to. So some people can't take the pain, right? Let's say you buy an option for $1, 2 days later, it's at 50 cents. Instead of freaking out, I think it takes some time to, you know, adapt, take a deep breath, say, all right, is the position still, do I still like the setup? And is it just, hey, the stock got a downgrade, or maybe it just, the market's been weak, so the next 2 days, you know, it moved lower and the options decayed a little bit. It really takes that, you know, that time to adapt. And I always tell people, trade small, right? You can always buy more. Like, for example, I bought these YEXT, Y-E-X-T calls earlier today for about 55 cents. And the stock was up. Then it dropped $1. It's a $23 stock, right? So this call's traded down to 40 cents. You bought them at 60 cents and they're at 40 cents. Man, that sucks, right? Mm-hmm. And this is an hour. But if you traded small, A, you wouldn't see that huge P&L swing. And if you give some time too, let's say you buy the option at 55 cents, it goes down to 40 cents, you could buy a couple more. Has anything changed? No, the overall market sold off. So, you know, the individual stock's going to sell off. Stuff like that. If you can overcome and you can adapt, I feel like you'll last a lot longer in this game and you won't get so many gray hairs and always be constantly watching. You know, if you're constantly, I have people, oh, I went to lunch and the whole time I was on my phone checking quotes. That's not, you know, pleasurable trading and lifestyle. You know, scale down to where you're flexible in your trading, you know, and scale down the size too.
I took a few things out of that. Well, first of all, watch it with the gray hair comment. Second.
Yeah, well, I've been getting I mean, a few. You know, when I worked at the fund every day, I'm not even kidding. I was 26, 27, right around that age. Every day I'd wake up and I realized more gray hair. And then when I left and went to Costa Rica and came back, started working. I had an office here, but started working at home. I mean, yeah, I still get a couple gray hair. Man, it's not like it was.
I mean, that's why I'm a big shareholder in Clairol. But but you said small. You got to stay small. And I preach this all the time. You got to stay small in general because it allows you to control you until you can get a few years of trading under your belt where emotions take a backseat to process. And that's a very, very big thing to stay small and to follow the trading plan. Now I myself believe that. I also wanted to mention one other thing, and that when I work with traders in the mental and emotional issues, what takes them off their plan is they need to trade. They got to have the action. You got a lot of people wanting the action. And when they have a losing trade, it puts the pedal to the metal on the action. They need to get that back.
I got
to
make up for it.
Because if I'm losing, it means I'm a loser in some way. If we're winning, it means I'm a winner. They tie their ego. And right. I say they. I'm included in this, and so is pretty much every trader. But you learn to manage that. The thought comes up, and then you put it to the side, and you realize, hey, I'm a professional. I do what professionals do. We have an expression here. I'm a wise and disciplined trader, and I do the things that a wise and disciplined trader does. We used to have a button, used to like the office supply place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My wife's voice was a hypnotist. She said, I'm a wise and disciplined. Well, she sounds better than I do. I'm a wise and disciplined trader. And I do what a wise and I do the things that a wise and disciplined trader does. So keep it small and see yourself as a wise and disciplined trader. For me, I do believe in analyzing yourself first and then coming out and finding trading plans that fit you. And I've actually put trading plans. I don't know if you see this on one piece of paper. This is an entire trading plan with rules and whatever. This is the latest one I've been working on called Loaded Gun. This one is big move potential, but you can see it's all the rules and the charts and so on. And I've got four trading plans right here that I've already done. I'm working on three or four more. In answer to that previous question, hey, what are those 50 trading plans that you said were so great and anybody can use? So I keep things simple and I try to stress that people keep them simple because you wind up getting the same results with a simple trading plan that you do with a more complicated one. In fact, I think you get better results. But matching the personality with the type of trading plan really is step one. And then realizing that it's not about you putting yourself on the market. It's about you recognize the market and responding to that personality. And once you get to that point, you can start looking at other trading plans because now you have a reason and it becomes part of you and the part of your reasoning to trade. So that's kind of a complicated answer to a simple question. But I do believe that you need to have access to different trading plans. But I think it's important in the beginning to master a trading plan that fits you so that you have the confidence that you feel confident that you can win under any circumstances over the long term. Because as you said, you're going to take some losses on the perfect trades. It's always the perfect setups. How come that didn't win it? The perfect setup. So anyway, exactly. We have 15 minutes left and I wanted to make sure that I got in this question or just for you, if you can, we've used a lot of time and normally these sessions are much more quick in their responses, but I've asked Lance to be as wordy as I am, which is always my critique. Let me ask him, could you please put a ship in the back of your on your wall there? He did that for me. These are like masks from, where did you say you were in Costa Rica?
I was in Puerto Viejo in Costa Rica for a little bit. And now I'm in Florida.
Oh, where are you? I'm sitting here in Parkland.
I'm in Tampa.
Oh, so you're not far.
No.
They've really changed that city. Anyway, I want to tell me what, you know, if you were, it's a cocktail party now. We're having and I'm saying, hey Lance, what should I be looking at right now? Where what should I be looking at? You know, I need a winner.
Oh man, I got so many. I've caught a couple buyouts IDTI, the chip name recently, and then I've caught Zio three times this year, or actually last year.
What's the symbol on Zio?
Z-A-Y-O. Gotcha. Zio. Now the buyout's already been in the media. It's a telecom company. So they had earnings. When was it? In Zio. They had earnings, not the previous quarter, back on 10/29. The stock went from 30 to 22. Now that's a gap. So about 3 days after the earnings dip, a big fund or institution or trader came in and bought some calls. I believe they bought like December 25s mm-hmm. when the stock was around 23. Well, a couple days after, the stock rallied from 23.5 to 28 on mm-hmm. On some I think it was Blackstone and a couple other firms said they're exploring a buyout of it. So my calls went up. Some of them went up fivefold and some went up sevenfold, literally within like 3 or 4 days. So that was nice. And then I think it was early January, they did the same thing. They bought some more calls and literally the next day the stock popped like 10, I think actually up to, yeah, like 10% or so. Those calls tripled. And then recently I've had calls in it again and I took some pain in them. The stock was around like 26 and got down to like 24.5 and I was, getting decayed away. And I believe on 3/5, so earlier this month, the stock was up about 17%, on again, more buyout talks, stuff like that. So they're still holding, tons of April calls and they've also rolled out to June on some calls and Zio. So that's one name that I've been all over recently. It's finally got some headlines, and I've taken a lot of pain in this one. Is Caesars with Icon. Now, thankfully I haven't. I didn't have it at like 10 or 13, but I've been buying in and buying calls on it really since like 880. And now here it is at 832. I know it had news over the weekend, but I mean, I'm just I'm loaded in April 9, some May 9, some May 10s, and they're very cheap. I mean, some of these calls are, I think the most expensive calls I have are like 27 cents and the others are like a dime, 15, 16 cents. And this is, my explanation. If there's news and let's say it gets bought out at 11, right? I know Tillman and a couple other they offered them 13 a share, a few months ago, stuff like that. If I buy calls, let's say I buy the May 10s for a dime and it gets bought out at, let's say, 12, mm-hmm. those calls go from 10 cents to $2. So it has potential for a big, big return.
Is that your thing? The very small for the gigantic, I have a lot of them, right? I love a few of them. Don't do one. It's like buying one lottery ticket.
Right. What I like is I work with a poker pro who is a World Poker Tour champion. I mean, one of the best traders I've seen, a little crazy at times, but it's still, when you're playing poker, there's implied odds, right? So let's say I have a 9-10 of spades and they have pocket aces, right? And let's say mm-hmm. the flop has two spades on it, maybe a jack and queen of spades, even though he has a better hand, right? Mm-hmm. And he has the higher probability of winning, maybe he's 80% favorite before the flop, I have outs. So I like these names with outs. So instead of, buying a deep in the money call or an at the money call, I'll buy these cheap out the money calls. And like I said, to begin with, I might only get one out of every three, maybe one out of every five, right? But I can hit a big home run if I get them right. Like an IDTI, on some of the calls there, I made 1200% on some of them. Weight Watchers, I ran this baby up from the teens to the 70s. I think I got up to 95. And every time a big player comes in and buys calls, or back in those days, and now they buy puts, I piggyback on them. Weight Watchers had earnings recently, bought a lot of March puts for $1.15, had earnings, to stock tanked. I think it was down like 30, maybe even 35% at one point. Mm-hmm. Puts went up 800%. So I like stuff like that. Now, if you're looking at high probability trades, there's a name that I like, especially today. It is Yext, Y-E-X-T, and I'll pull it up if we have time here really quick. If I'm trend trading, let's see, there we go, pulled it up here. We have a nice pop on earnings. And then today I bought some calls. You see, I have a couple peppered out here, but we have a nice bull flag setup, good earnings report. It's in the IT space, mm-hmm. right? So they were buying April 25 calls and some May 25. 25 calls. Again, they're cheap. The stock's right around 23. So they're out the money. But, you know, if we have, let's say, an upgrade or just we take out the previous high on some volume, I think we trade right back up to the highs. Obviously, yeah. The market helps too. Kind of adds a little bit more fuel to the fire. So again, not a name that's super popular. You know, I'm not looking at like Facebook saying, hey, I'm going to dip by Facebook at 160. Something like that. I feel like I have no advantage on trading. You know, saying, oh, Facebook's down today, so I'm going to buy it, right? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen or something like Boeing. So I try to stick with names that have institutional order flow that I have experience with, you know, not the most common names, but stuff like that. It gives me, I feel like, a higher probability than just going out and buying, you know, a Facebook or Boeing or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell everybody out there, I generally, when I start hearing guys that do binary and I start hearing, you know, 20 cent premiums options, I turn it off.
You think I'm nuts, right?
I heard about you. This is the first time we've met, but I heard about you. And now I'm starting to figure out why they said that you do things a little bit differently for those kinds of, I'm getting people all the time that like to put a little and make a lot. Maybe I'm the next generation, but you know, we had to put in our work. And so I think you can be smart in today's market. The technology is there to be able to do what you're saying without falling back on the old mores that you got to be crazy to do what you're doing, because I know you've had some success. So anybody, alphashock.com, I think you've got to contact Lance if you're into this risk a little, make a lot. But I do have to warn you, and I think you're going to agree that you're going to have to have a stomach, because there'll be some losses along the way.
And that's what, you know, if I'm trading weekly options or even front month options, my size goes down, right? You don't want to lose sleep overnight. If I'm trading an earnings event, you know, like we spoke about earlier, they could beat top and bottom, but the CEO steps down or you know, they can say, oh yeah, but we lost business here, or something like that, something major, right? Or some scandal comes out. Trade small. There's no point of risking, you know, a 20% on your book or some, you know, some weekly option trade or some earnings trade, right? Now, if you have confidence in a name and you trade it really well, yeah, you know, you could scale up. But if not, trade small. There's no, you know, you don't have to be a superstar, right? And if you see people, especially in this industry, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. If you see people saying, oh, I made $10,000 trading Apple today, or I made $50,000 in Amazon options, chances are they probably risked a ton to get there, or they have multiple accounts, right? And, you know, they have different sides of the trade. So, if you know, again, if you trade small, where you don't have to be, hey, every trade has to be a winner, you can give yourself some leeway to hit, you know, to potentially hit some of these home runs.
Excellent. I'm trying to figure out. Can you see my chart up there?
No, not yet.
No. Okay. Let me get back into here. Because I got something that I think here I'm talking about. You know, risky. I'm about to show you something that's in that risk category.
You don't do penny stocks. Just for full disclosure.
How about this? Can you see?
Yeah, I got you there.
Okay. Here, this is a stock called MedMen. This is for all you pot smokers out there.
Oh, well, I like the marijuana names too.
Yeah, but Lance and I, we don't do things. You know, we may have a little drink every once in a while. But there's this is MedMen, MMNFF. It's trade on the NASDAQ, and I like this stock. I was in Las Vegas and I walked into a MedMen store. They legalized marijuana in Nevada. It's recreational. So I walked into the store just to see what it looked like, because I had heard about this company. It's almost like walking into Apple, where you're greeted with a person outside of the door to check your age and has an iPad. And they turn you over to a salesman inside and they start showing you all the material that they have. But it's quite an operation. And I got interested in this about 5 or 6 months ago when I heard that they were buying a lot of the licenses in the United States out of Canada. But look at this chart. This is, you know, we were up in the, you can see that we got to the 750 level up here and then collapsed. This is so typical of the whole pot genre, as well as biotech stocks when they first started. Then they trail along the bottom. We've been trading really here. This is that these last two support levels here are $2.73 and $2.64. You can see how that's held nicely over the course of since the beginning of December. So, but the fact that we're in a nice range crawling along the bottom, and we've brought the 200-day moving average down, it's a stock that I'm keeping my eye on. The moving averages don't mean a whole lot here, except for maybe the 200. But when we break out, this starts to get interesting, and the true breakout would be right over the $3.83 area, right around in here. But you'd have to see something convincing. We've got a gap here, as you can see. So there's a lot of technical stuff that says this is another area where we're going to get a lot of resistance in the future. But you want to keep your eye on this, because I do think that marijuana is going to just be a growing industry. You're already seeing the competition. You're seeing a lot of names being thrown to the side and stepped on and absorbed and so on. This is a company that has a possibility of either being taken over or having others take over it. So I would keep your eye. I'm keeping my eye on it. And I suggest maybe if you're a person that's interested in how to get into a pot stock in the early stages, this may be one that you want to keep your eye on. Okay. Let me stop sharing that so you can see my...
And there we go. What do we have in that name? We have potential, right? Yeah. We have potential, a buyout, right? We have potential of the overall sector moving again. We have, what was it, at 7.5 at one point? You got potential for another run up.
There's, now, do you have options? Are there options available in this stock?
No, I actually just looked it up. There's not. I trade a lot of those names. CGC, Cron, Tilray, I usually don't mess with the options because they're a little too wide. Aurora Cannabis, AFA, I'm probably missing a couple. New Age Beverage. I love the name. I was just at a conference and, you know, trying to get more business in the pot stocks because I trade options on them. So there's only about 10 to 12 names that have good liquid options in that space. But boy, do they move. And these options, you know, let's say they have a couple red days or so, and then they, you know, have that big squeeze. Boy, these names go crazy.
Yeah, they absolutely can explode. I'm going to show you one more, and then we'll... Then I'll ask you to give a wrap-up statement and see if I have it here. I think it is right here. And it's the crude chart. I think you see it here. This is a little kind of trick thing I use. This is a bottom-to-bottom. If you consider this an uptrend, I'm connecting the bottoms of the uptrend already. Should probably kill me for probably not doing this correctly, but I think I have. This gives us not only I duplicate this and put it over here by the next top, looking for where I believe this. It's a forecasting tool. And I've been just watching this crude. It's not only forecasting the price, but it's also forecasting time. We're running out of time, according to this type of analysis, to be up here. And unless there's some sort of a war or something overnight, we're probably not going to get here. This weakness and the fact that it's happening around the 200-day moving average, to me, says we may be looking at some downside coming up if we can get confirmation. Even though this white line is really where I go for to trigger my trades, there's also a divergence here. You see this move right here, this high created here is lower than this high created here, although the RSI here is lower, even though the price is higher. That's that same kind of divergence I pointed out last time, which is negative. So I'm seeing a couple of negative things here that aren't definitive, but this is what I love about crude is that it tends to streak. Once it starts going up, it goes up for a while. Once it starts going down, it goes down for a while. It's the kind of market I really like to trade. So I wanted to make sure that I showed you that particular one before we stopped. All right. Lance, it seems like I've known you forever, but it's
I know, really right? I feel the same way too.
Can you give me just a little bit of a wrap up? What you'd like to tell people about your service, maybe, and I know I've promoted you a little bit, but that's only because I couldn't help myself. Tell everybody, give them a goodbye.
Yeah, so let me see if I could pull the screen up here. So you can email me, and this is for everyone out there. Pull up the website. I know you guys have my LAI Capital Corp email. You go on the website, tradingcoachlance.com, or you can get me on Twitter. I have a private Twitter feed under Trading Coach L, or you could just type in Lance at Bluto and you'll see a beautiful image of myself. Usually I have my cat there with me looking presentable for once in Armani suit. Usually I'm in basketball shorts and a tank top. So, you know, visit there, reach out to me, feel free. I usually get back to Twitter quicker than email because I have it on my phone. And, you know, really appreciate you gentlemen having me on the show. Great conversation, and we'll have to chat soon.
Well, thanks for coming, Lance. I was I'm impressed. Not that I had to be impressed, but I had never met you. I just heard about you, and you've got it all that I've heard. So
we'll have to discuss some of these cannabis sector names. That was I enjoy your what was it called? MMNFF.
Yes, up 3.5%. Can you see that? This interested in simple trading plans? Can you see that?
Yep, I got it with the email.
For everybody, there's the best way. I talked about simple trading plans, but again, we're about the mental and emotional. Go to N. Hallett at thedisciplinedtrader.com. That comes to me directly. I don't like middlemen if I can help it. So N. Hallett at thedisciplinedtrader.com will get you in conversation with me directly. That is probably going to wrap it up. David, anything to say to the crowd?
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. Also, be sure to join us tomorrow, 4:30 Eastern Time, for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade. That's Jim Kenny and John Thomas will be on that one. And then just want to thank my guests again for today. As I mentioned, Mark Sachs of Brightline Trading wasn't able to join us today, but he'll be back again soon. And as well as Lance Ippolito of AlphaShark.com and Norman Hallett of the DisciplineTrader.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
Take care.